Okay, Greg, you may start the meeting.
It's 7:06 in the evening of the 18th of August, 2009, in La Casa, 3166 Mount Pleasant Street, and I'm calling to order the Mount Pleasant Advisory Neighborhood Commission 1D. I observe a quorum consisting of Treasurer Jack McKay, Oliver Tunda, Phil Lepanto, Dave Bosserman, and myself, Greg Edwards, acting in the absence of the chair, Stormy Scott, as acting chair. Since I understand that Commissioner, that Oliver may need to leave quickly, if it's possible, I would like to move to a must-do issue, which is the approval of the resolution submitted for Capital City Public Charter School. Okay. Jack?
Okay, this doesn't work.
Does this work?
Yes, you're fine. I was getting too much gain on that line.
All right. Well, perhaps we could move.
But I need it pointed this way so that I can hear you.
All right.
You are very hard to hear without the little system.
I am capable of projecting, but...
Well, yes.
But I didn't get...
But you don't. Whatever. I was just going to say... there may be some discussion warranted on the Capital City resolution, so perhaps we should simply proceed with the public discussion. Can we do that? I'm sorry, what's the urgency here, Oliver? Say again. Ah, he's not well.
So we had
we have a quorum without him.
But I would prefer that he be a participant, so if possible.
Then let me just ask Phil, do you wish to engage in much discussion concerning the Capital Cities issue?
Thank you. Is there anybody here from Capital City? I would like to hear from you, and particularly your enthusiasm about this cooperative agreement before we proceed. I just think that's reasonable.
Okay.
I agree with that, yeah.
No.
Let me check that.
Off all the way. I can also project.
No.
It is definitely on. It is on. We're doing fine. But you do have to do the rock star thing and talk right into it.
Lord, okay. I'll try. I promise I won't sing.
Oh, excellent.
I'm Kathy Bird. I'm the founding principal of Capital City Public Charter School Upper School Campus. We started last year, 2008, with 6th through 9th grade students, 128 students above the CVS, where Capital City originally started, before they moved to 15th Street, where E.L. Haynes moved in, before they moved over to their new building on Georgia Avenue. And so we took over the space where there were 7 rooms, again, as I say, with 6th through 9th grade. We're part of an expeditionary learning schools, also part of the Coalition of Essential Schools, Small Schools Network, which means we are committed to having a small secondary school, not to exceed 285 students in our charter amendment. It's 6th through 12th grade when we are fully enrolled, but we're adding a grade a year. So this next year, we'll be adding 10th grade at the proposed site of 3220 16th Street, 3224. So we'll have some administrative offices in the embassy building on the second floor, as well as having all of their building 2 and building 3. And that is 11 rooms, as well as a cafeteria-type space in the basement. We use Girard Street Gym as our fitness center, so our students go down there twice a week with our fitness teachers, and we've been doing that for years from our lower school as well. We have a humanities block, math, science, Spanish language, Spanish for Spanish speakers, as well as an arts fully, a full arts program, as well as the fitness program. In each grade, we have 25, 26 students. For 6th, 7th, and 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, we have 52 students each. So that's how we arrive at 180 students this next year if we're fully enrolled. We have 98% of our students re-enroll, which we are extremely proud of. We had our students for 8 months. We had 55% of them were proficient or advanced in reading, only 42% in math. But after only working with them 8 months and seeing that when they came, 70% were well below grade level in both reading and math, we were very proud of those scores, although next year we intend to be at proficiency and meeting adequate yearly progress.
If I could interrupt.
I'll stop my...
All we want to know is, are you happy, are you content, are you okay with this agreement that you have worked out?
Yes, I have not taken it to our Board of Trustees yet. I met with the chair of our board this morning, and so we'll be taking it to our Board of Trustees later this month. I am happy with the intent of it. I am very pleased. Part of our mission is to be community-based and creating citizens of the world, starting with citizens of our school and citizens of our neighborhood. So service is a component of our program. All students do a half an hour of service back to the community every week. During the school day, some do it at the lower school, they do it in the building, but in the upper school we do it around the community. So for us, the agreement kind of puts in writing things that we feel very strongly about as developing our students is to be responsible citizens and stewards of their neighborhood. Yes, we are.
I lost my train of thought. Can you tell us quickly where your students are coming from throughout the city? And then the other thing I wanted to know was, what was the outcome of the meeting last night, the public charter school board meeting?
Our students, I don't have the demographics for this school year yet because we they change through the month of September. Last year, our students came from 41 different schools from all quadrants of the district. 45% of them came from Columbia Heights and Mount Pleasant neighborhood. Most of the schools they came from were like Tubman, Bancroft, Lincoln, schools in the neighborhood. Many have been on the waiting list for years and years, and because we opened up a whole separate 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, we're finally able to get in. Last night, Dr. Edwards and I were at the charter board meeting, and they voted to conditionally approve the move to the 16th Street site, pending the approval of the ANC to waive the 30-day advance notice of moving to that site. There was a lot of discussion about the agreement. Much of it, Dr. Edwards can speak to that, but much of it somewhat legal. Like, what is their real... they need to read the law to see what... They're not in the business of... If the intent is to have them police that agreement, then they are not in favor of that, and they're not quite sure where their role lies in the agreement, so that they did discuss it, but they didn't endorse it. Of course, the same thing is pending your approval, pending our Board of Trustees approval, and their lawyers looking at it, but they weren't sure it was within their purview under the charter school law.
May I? Just to... they said that they would have no problem in acknowledging it, that they wanted to run it by their lawyers and see if there's some tweaks. They seemed to be reassured when it was pointed out that it has no teeth. It simply is a way of terms of reference and standards of performance that hopefully we could all agree with. And they did, I think, for the first time, after several nasty fights with neighbors. I don't know if you heard all of them. There were a lot of people there last night from nasty fights with the neighbors. But they agreed that that if things got bad between neighbors and the school, that they would intervene. And if the school were found at fault, they would take action. So I think they could see eventually, especially after all of the turmoil last night, that something that would tend to regularize and set up expectations would pacify things. But they said that they probably would propose some tweaks.
Greg, perhaps you could make the motion at this time?
Yes. Resolved, ANC1D considers that the signed cooperative agreement between 1D and the Capital City Public Charter School addresses the difficult issues mentioned in 1D's 2009 July 21 resolution addressed to the DC Public Charter School Board. In consideration of the board's intent to acknowledge its intent to acknowledge this agreement with a few tweaks it might suggest, 1D waives its protest of the failure of the board to provide timely notice and considers the matter settled. It looks like we've had discussion, and you wish to further discuss. Okay, go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, it's just for the record before we vote. The one clause, I guess it would be, in this resolution that I actually agree with is 1D waives its protest of the failure of the board to provide timely notice and considers the matter settled. For that reason, I will be voting for this resolution. I want to make it clear, though, that I find the use of the cooperative agreement under a constrained time such as this to be the same type of tactic that we have seen and deplored used throughout this neighborhood in other venues. I think it is right for the Public Charter School Board to express reservations of the use of the cooperative agreement. I mean, even the language that you use to describe this document harkens to a regulatory framework that exists in other parts of the district government. So, as I said, I don't want to stand in front of this this school. I've heard great things about the school. I'm excited about continued productive use of this building. So without delay, unless there's a further discussion, I urge that we vote.
So it sounds like we're ready to vote now. Jack?
I want to offer a friendly amendment.
Okay.
That we close with the closing sentence state. 1D waives his protest to the failure of the board to provide timely notice, and advises approval of Capital City's application. It's not clear from this that we are advising approval of the application. It just say that we're not going to worry about the legality of the protest period.
I accept that because that was already settled pretty much last night.
So I realize that this is your intent. I'm just making it explicit.
No, you know my policy to accept all reasonable friendly amendments.
My friendly amendments are always reasonable, Craig.
Come, sure.
Come. May I do this?
Sure.
Change this to read. Do you want to include that considered matter settled, or do you want to?
If you think it reads better the other way, then I accept it.
I'm just going to append then, and advises approval of Capital City's application, permit application.
That's fine with me.
Let me do that.
While you're doing that, we can move to a vote. May I see? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. I see that it's 5-0 unanimous. You're welcome to stay, but
I'll stay for a bit. I haven't eaten yet. I'll stay for a bit. Thank you very much. I appreciate
thank you.
It.
With that, I think we can go back to our regular order and hear from the public discussion.
Clarification. Phil, how did you vote on this? Okay, it's 5-0 in favor. Thank you.
Double loading the secretary.
Good afternoon. It's so nice to see some Latinos as majority in the meeting program since I come here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, good evening, actually. It is great to see that we are finally bringing a stronger presence of Latinos to these meetings, and I can guarantee you the Latino Association is going to continue being the strongest presence from now on, and at least that is the decision that we have taken in the meeting yesterday that we had in this room, full house, and was very exciting. I want to introduce one of our speakers, a spokesperson for the Latino Association, who wants to refer to you. He's going to do it in Spanish, and I'm going to do the quick translation for you, if that's okay.
Buenas noches. Primero que todo, quiero agradecer a todos ustedes por invitarnos y apoyar al evento que vamos a tener el 6 de septiembre.
Good evening. The first thing I want to do is I want to thank you very much for your support of the event that we are going to have on September 6th.
Al mismo tiempo queremos invitarles a ustedes a participar porque es un evento no solamente para latinos sino para toda la comunidad en general.
And at the same time I would like to invite you to please join us on September 6th because it's an event not only for latinos but it's for the whole community.
Nuestra comunidad está totalmente agradecida, complacida y queremos seguir avanzando y mejorando nuestra calidad en esta zona.
Our community is very thankful and very complacido, completion,
yeah.
with the quality with the work that's being done in this community, and we want to improve the quality of the of our community itself.
No sé si Juan Carlos ha hablado con ustedes. Tenemos una necesidad de económica para crear unos toiles para ese día.
I don't know if Juan Carlos has shared with you yet, but we are having a little bit of a shortage in our financial planning for the event, and it's regarding to having some portajohns for September 6th.
Y lo otro es que queremos seguir trabajando junto con ustedes, y una vez más agradecerle por su gran trabajo y su gran gestión para esta comunidad latina. Y no solamente latina, sino para toda la ciudad.
And I wanted to also thank you for all the great work that you guys are doing for the community, not only with the Latino community, but the whole community, with the community as a whole. Thank you.
Gracias.
So, just to strengthen the point that Otto is bringing out, is we are coordinating, we're going to be providing free food, lawyers, legal assistance to educate our community about their rights and their obligations that they have. We're expecting around 250 folks. We're going to have music. So you supported with that, with this event. And we are wondering if you can, if there's a way that we can, we are short in about the, to pay for two toilets, two portajohn toilets, and each one of them costs $120. So we are wondering if the ANC will be able to help us out with that or not, and what will be the process to do it. That's the one part.
Jack.
It's clearly an excellent event, certainly one we wish to support. But legally, it's very difficult for us to provide funds. We have severe restrictions on our grants. The only way we could participate financially would be as a participant, to purchase our own something and participate as. Simply handing you money is something that legally we cannot do. Let me ask you this. if residents offer donations, will they be tax deductible?
We are considering using the Latino Federation as one of the organizations that will be the non-profit organization to do that, and I will think yes.
Okay, if you can give me the directions for how residents can offer contributions through an organization and get a tax deduction, I can certainly advertise that around the neighborhood to see what support you can get.
Thank you. So what I'm hearing is it will be difficult for the ALC to rent the Port of Jones and provide that service then.
Legally, I know I do not see how we could do this.
I was at the ANC 1A or no 1B meeting the other night, and they offered grant money to a woman that was doing a similar type of event, and it was basically because the residents of the neighborhood were benefiting from the actual event, they could use ANC money to pay invoices that were presented to the ANC.
Jack, but our bylaws specify that our grants will be issued only once a year, annually. So we cannot arbitrarily, in the middle of the year, offer another grant.
Dave, if we could co-sponsor it, then it would be our money used for our benefit.
Jack, that's the sort of thing you have to do. We have to be an actual participant buying whatever we are providing for our own participation, not something for somebody else. Do you want to be the sponsor of a portage, John? I mean, I'm not sure how to do this. I would love to do something, but I'm not sure how to do this.
Would it be possible to co-sponsor the, for ANC 1D to be a co-sponsor if we decided to do that?
One second. Hablo con los CEOs, con el signo de los copatrocinadores del evento, si ganan dinero para eso. This is really great. Because we have all the sponsors, like Ayuda, Latino Federation, Fiesta DC, and Vida Senior Centers. So that would be great.
Dave. If possible, I'd like to make a resolution at this time on this matter.
Fine, proceed.
All right. ANC 1D resolves to co-sponsor the Celebrando La Familia Latina de Washington, D.C. and to contribute the cost of two port-a-johns for this event.
$250.
$250.
Well, I think we should specify that. Would you accept that as a friendly amendment?
That's fine.
Okay, then in which case I will second the motion.
Thank you. I think we'll be the, just on a friendly amendment to contribute to $250 because I think it's $240 something.
Up to
$250.
Yeah.
Fine. Phil.
I wonder if we might add another sentence that Commissioner Bosserman is designated as the coordinator for working with LAMP to coordinate our sponsorship.
It will be an honor.
Bueno. Excuse me. Good. Any further discussion? May we move to a vote? All in favor? Okay, sir.
I'm still
writing.
There you go.
That's fine.
That's why we made it wireless.
Jack, discussion.
I'm still concerned about the legality of this, and this will require Dave's active participation in the event. He's nodding. So he says he's willing to do that.
So would you accept a friendly amendment that that you are not a coordinator but an active participant, that you are representing the partnership of ANC1D? How about that? The partnership of, would you accept that language?
Yes.
that. Okay, any other discussion or changes? Jack, are we ready to vote?
It may come into question by the auditor, but I'm willing to deal with that. I think this is a worthy cause.
Good. I have a point of discussion, which is to say that in the future, I hope we can start to talk about a program where the ANC, which has long supported Latino issues here, and develop a program, perhaps that we can sketch a program and a budget that can be presented for continuation. Because I think you hear that you have a very friendly reception here. And that will, I think, also help regularize the situation. Jack.
One more comment. I wish to request that the Portageons be labeled provided by AMC1D.
English, Spanish, and French. Thank you, Jack.
Oliver might help you with Arabic as well.
Thank you.
He speaks French and Arabic.
So the second thank you, so start with the component?
Well, no, I haven't called for the vote. Are we ready to vote now?
Call it all.
In favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Are there any abstentions? Then I declare the vote as 5-0.
Thank you.
Phil.
Quick question. You already have approval for use of Lamont Park?
Yes, sir.
On that day? Okay. And you've notified the neighbors that live around Lamont Park? You flyered that you're going to be doing this event with the neighbors that live in that area?
Yes, we flyered out today. This is coming out.
Okay.
It's going door to door. And we're going to continue tomorrow. And also, we have it in Spanish and English.
I hope the members of the ANC saw my proposal to approve this event several days ago.
And I will also comment that tomorrow we will have, and the flyers coming out tomorrow throughout the district will be having all this the sponsorship of the ANC.
Yeah, Phil.
Could you? I'm not entirely clear on what you did there with. In terms of that letter, I've received a similar request from a different group. I actually wasn't paying enough attention to realize that you were responding to this request as opposed to the request that I had received. But you just wrote a letter and CC'd the rest of us.
After notifying everybody, the rules of the DCRA DPR is that the commissioner in whose district the park lies, they authorize to give them the go-ahead. Not other commissioners, so the commissioner in whose district the park lies. And the policy, because there have been conflicts on this, namely with MPNA in the past. What I have said to everybody is that if they provide the information and where they lay out all the information, so I don't have to do a lot of extra work in writing a letter. I provide people with the template. Then I will. Then if it satisfies agreements to keep the noise down and keep order, then I will distribute it to the other commissioners and then simply wait a couple of days and then send the letter in as they request. If there's any difficulties, then I remove myself from the process and say that the individual or the group applying can come directly to the AMC. So my role is to not, I do not want to be set up as a blocker or as a decider. It is more of a facilitator. And at any point, anyone that has any problems or wants to do things differently can come directly to the full ANC. And I think this is the policy that I've renewed, but we've worked this out over many years in terrible fights. And at least before, everybody on the ENC seemed to agree, because it facilitates the process. But I don't think you are that you can personally authorize events in Lamont Park. Phil.
Thank you for explaining it to me.
Sure. And do you have, out of curiosity, do you have personally objections to this procedure?
Just to satisfy your curiosity, I do wonder exactly how the line got drawn where the park is entirely within your district when my district abuts it and there's no one living in it, but that's my true reaction.
I will answer the question. I served on the, I was appointed by Jim Graham to the task force for redistricting. And the proposal that a faction I had put together during this long 6 months of fighting lost by one vote a different structure, which I don't want to go through the explanation. And the winning coalition carved up Mount Pleasant over the objections of me and all of our friends. So it was done actually by Elizabeth McIntyre, a commissioner, former commissioner of Columbia Heights. So that's an answer. Try to be open about all these things. Yes?
One more comment. One of the aspects that we are committed to, just to let know that the event, this event that we're putting together, is the intention of bringing our community together and identify issues and invite them to be part of the strengthening our community, right? But one of the things that's very critical to us and has been raised up from the first meeting we had as the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant is the fact that the Fiesta DC was leaving Mount Pleasant. We were very upset about that stuff. We were very frustrated that they were leaving and nobody talked to us as Latinos in the area that they were leaving. So we make sure that we brought that sentiment to the members of the Fiesta DC and spoke with the board members and said, listen, us, the Latino Association, would like to have you back. Well, yesterday meeting, and they explained to us that they had some confrontations, some people, they were opposition, and Latinos were not really well organized here to support the presence of the festival here. I myself was able to come to the festival last year and volunteer and have a great time because I was already living here. So, I had information last night in our meeting, we agreed that we will strongly outreach to the Fiesta DC to reconsider and come back here to Mount Plaza because all the richness and the experience they have and goes in correlation in relationship to what the Latino Association wants to build and rebuild and continue building here in Mount Plaza. So in the morning I had different conversations. And in this afternoon, I have a conversation with Greg about the fact that Fiesta DC is having trouble getting into 14th Street. So now they talk to us and they want to come back. And we are, and Greg and I have a couple conversations about this. And here is where we are. And we have talked to our leaders. We would like to embrace fully the coming back of the festival to Mount Pleasant. We believe that it represents our heritage. We believe that it represents our culture. We believe that it is a presence that has started here. And there are some board members, they are not there, like Pedro Viles, and some board members are not working there anymore. But we believe also that the date that they set up is for September 27th. And when we say we want to embrace them, it's because we don't want to jeopardize any efforts that my brothers and Latino sisters are doing in Dublin. If they have made mistakes in the past, we need to deal with those mistakes, but we should not use that as a punishment to our community of a festival that has and creates a lot of richness in the tradition. Just to say one quick thing about that festival that I found out yesterday, and that is what Ms. Rivas is here. People went to little towns, little pueblos in El Salvador to get people to bring them here to create some of the customs that they walk with in the streets. And that was such a beautiful experience to see that people, the richness, so especially El Salvador, where the tradition and the richness of the culture is not that much explored. There's not much use in this country. So that was very beautiful to see that. And have people from Bolivia, from my own country here, marching and walking the street was powerful. It's true there might need some changes. It's true that we need to have a commitment from them to don't come back here and then leave. We cannot tolerate that. If they come back, we should have an agreement to be at least 3 to 5, at least 5 years with us. And we need to work with them to have a nice plan that can enrich the work that they do. What I have found out, Greg, I promise I found a will do some research. What I have found out from just a few things. In November, they provide 1,000 turkeys to Latino families. I didn't know that, and they do that. In December, they provide a children's party, a Christmas children's party, where they give toys to 500 children in the community. In February, they have an Afro-Latino event, an Afro-Latino festival, where they really provide...
Juan Carlos, usually we restrict representatives of groups to 5 minutes. You've been about 25 minutes, and over 20, and so... would you, we have other things that we would like to discuss, including this, so could you try to summarize your points?
Sure, thank you. Just to clarify, was it 25 minutes because you guys spent some time talking
sure.
about it? But
yes.
I got you. So my point is that the Latino festival, it should not be punished because of behavior that has had in the past. And we should embrace them with open arms, with open eyes, and we should have a clear emphasis in how they can strengthen our community. Their day set up for the event is September 27th, so I would just like to request that we expedite this so the advertising and the events and the changes can be done in a very effective way. And to finalize, perhaps a group of us or the Latino Association can meet with them to see how, and also from the body that you represent, just to see how we can strengthen, how we can adapt this to the reality of our community now, and then have a full commitment after that. We should have a serious plan for how to strengthen next year and how to work through all the months with financing and support that they do in our community. Thank you so much for
sharing. Okay. Now we return. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? DJ? In the back?
Good evening, gentlemen. I think it was terrible.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Reverend Greg Carter. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thank you. Good. I manage the property that's on 16th Street for the Family Federation. And I just wanted to bring to your attention that we have a wonderful ballroom and a conference room there that we have restored. And we wanted to make that available to the community for use. It's one of my acts, and unfortunately I've been sort of involved with street ministry lately, so I haven't been able to come to this meeting, but I have wanted to. And I just wanted to bring it to the ANC's attention that at any time that you need access to that property, you're welcome.
What is that?
It is the Family Federation building that's at 3224 16th Street, North Wings. It's newly renovated about 3 or 4 years ago. And primarily, if you'd like to hold sort of like executive board meetings if you'd like to hold graduations, a number of things. It has a really prime area, and we restored it for the community. So if you'd like access to that at any time, please get a hold of me. I'll leave my cards with you. You're welcome, and God bless you for your community work.
Could you explain more of the, I think it might be right, it's either in my or Phil's district, because at 24, it's on the west side of 16th Street.
Yes, the southwest side, facing north.
Okay, what intersection is close?
Park, right around the corner. Park and 16th Street, right on the corner. The United Federation of Churches building, I don't know if I can see it on that map. Yes, right there on that corner where all the construction was. All street parking, semicircle in the front.
Well, 33 would be the next block up, I think.
That's correct.
So it would be a little further north, and you say southwest
corner, where the arrow is, I think, right there, yes.
At Park Road?
Yeah.
So it would be on the northwest corner, yeah. Because on the southwest corner is the Unification Church building.
That's the building.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the building. We're actually a family federation. And that particular building has been renovated for community work. The full first floor.
You know, I've been talking with Reverend Carter about that for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's me. Oh, Greg.
Yes.
All right. Oh, wow.
And I'm glad that that you guys are coming through with this, because we've been discussing it, and there are a couple of other things that I'd like to say while he's here. One is that we approached him, a bunch of the neighbors approached him about the problems we had had with the Stokes School, and so they put restrictions on the Cesar Chavez School so that we did not have many of those concerns. The cooperative, we're supposed to, I've agreed with the principal, Kathy Bird, to meet with you in the next day or two, so that, because we've reached a cooperative agreement that would remove in stages and provide a basis for coming to you and saying, can we relax some of those restrictions, which you so kindly put in, but based upon a process where we're talking to each other. But I wanted to celebrate that you were extremely responsive to our complaints, and that's the kind of community spirit that at least I would like to applaud.
Thank you, Greg. If there's any way we can be of help to the community, I mean, I've been there since 2000, and most of the time I spent with youth on the southeast side of Maryland, but now I'm sort of centralized.
Good.
But I mean, there, just let me know how to be of help.
The other thing that you did that I thought was exemplary that everybody should know about is that I went by and talked with your staff asking, and a phone call, asking that you give up some of the property that you own that on that corner that made the sidewalks extremely narrow there. And they responded by adding quite a few feet. And so now there's a bench-like structure for people to work with. The sidewalk is much wider. And now the city can legally, has a property to put in a sidewalk where seniors and wheelchairs can pass. And this is out of the direct generosity of Reverend Carter.
Thank you so much. If I may ask you gentlemen to take one of my cards.
At least 120 for the ballroom and for the conference room, about 100. And you have to come and see us. Take a look at it. It's all African mahogany. So it's really a nice place. for any sort of festival or banquet or awards situation that you'd like to give, honoring some VIPs in this community, if you'd like to invite the mayor, is that kind of capacity. So please just consider that your ability and call me at any time.
So does he have a way to rent or just get a hold of you? Will be
yes. We have it rented, you know, for those who can afford to pay some things, money. But if those folks come to us and they say, look, we're just holding a festival, need a place or something like that, then if you just like to make a love offering for, we like to have a security guy around to make sure that, you know, the school's resources are respected, people don't get lost and move into the school area. So other than that, we're not going to ask a lot for that. So just please consider it Mount Pleasant, your building. Would like to work with you on that.
You're extremely responsive to our requests in all of these things. I know it's taken a little time.
Greg, can we move on?
Okay, good. Well, let me finish then. Just say that I appreciate that although the request was made 5 years ago, you had to rehab the space before you could come through.
Absolutely.
But then, thank you. It's in my district, perhaps I abused, but it's for a lot of people. Jack, will you pick up as the
secretary's report, right?
As a jack for all us.
Jack of all trades, that's me. Secretary's report. Minutes of the July 21 and August 4 meetings. Are there any corrections to be offered to either?
Hearing none, I declare them accepted.
Okay. Treasurer's report. I met with the auditor at the end of July. He wanted to go over the checkbook and go over petty cash. Everything passed inspection. So we should receive that audit report, which now covers almost 4 years, by the end of September. And it should be a very nice audit. Things have worked out well. I do want to hear that there is no objection to my writing two checks this evening, one to Tony Grillo for $100 for posters, and a second to Bill Butler, $589.50, for his services in support of the grants program.
Hearing no objection, I declare it approved.
Then that is it for the Treasurer's Report.
Thank you. Now we move to the Commercial Corridor Report, which is, aside from Phil's unfinished business, Phil?
How much longer will Bill Butler be working on the grant process?
Well, I don't... let me answer. I don't know because he has... he's had very serious family problems that took him out for about 6 weeks. And he is now just getting back into work. But he has promised me that he is... he's now going to find extra days because there are days saved up and devote himself to this. Yes, Phil?
Can you perhaps answer this in a different way, which is how much work is there left to do on the grant process? I mean, can you possibly estimate it in terms of hours?
No. We have a cap now, and he knows of the cap. And I'm confident that we will arrange things to get things done within that cap. We need to. He knows that that we're all pretty, by all I mean, including the grantees, pretty upset with the way things have gone. I have recently called Dave Baca about some of the problems in trying to get the council to put pressure on agencies to unblock the processes. The processes that are blocked are not matters of law. They are matters of what agencies are used to. Gottlieb Simon says it's going to take a little hand-holding and time, and he has volunteered to help us with that. But to predict it, I don't know. This is an innovation, and it's hard. With running repeats of the programs, it's easy to extrapolate. In this case, it's hard. If I may proceed now with the Commercial Corridor Report. The to just take a few large items. The appeals brief for Don Juan's entertainment license was filed last night. And okay, the appeals brief for Don Juan's so that Don Juan's restaurant can have an entertainment license was filed last night. In the middle of the night, I was able to read one of the three briefs, and I frankly think it's a mess. But according to Rick Masumi, you can dump everything in at this stage, see what the government has to say. You open up a lot of different issues, and that's the only way to figure out where they're at. And then you have a chance to respond, so the reply will be considerably cleaned up and coordinated. The bad news is that it is unlikely that we are going to get an appeals court ruling before we start the new three-year round this fall. So we can put in some requests for acceleration. You have all seen, I hope, my distribution of where I took the 43 resolutions of ANC and broke them up into points, 453 points. And at another point, I'd like to discuss what I've learned. If we're going to respond to case law on forcing the issue, the reason for doing this is what Phil Mendelson told me when I've approached him several times, asking for laws to help enforce agency attention to our resolutions. And he said that some ANCs can get themselves organized. The laws and the case law is adequate to get the agency's attention. All you need to do is to outline your points and challenge the agency, go through and show that they have not answered, and you go to appeals court, and they will automatically remand the decisions to the agencies. The agencies that we've seen will play games if we don't they don't pay attention to our points. So in the future, I think we may need to, when we're talking to agencies, outline every single point, and I try to give an example of doing so. But we have not done so before, and that may weaken our case. This afternoon, at about 2 o'clock, I got a call from George Escobar of the Office of Latino Affairs. He said either yesterday or this morning, I don't know, Fiesta DC, our Latino Fest, was told that because of a number of reasons, but one reason in particular is that 14th Street needs to stay open for fire and emergency vehicles. And there's a fire station right there. They will not in the future be able to use 14th Street for their festival. Check.
But they will be allowed to use it this year?
No.
Will they not?
No.
So the Fiesta DC in Columbia Heights will not happen?
Kaput. So,
it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Excuse me. Let me continue. So, he said he knows that there was some difficulties and in the past, but they would like to, and because of that, he is calling rather than Fiesta DC, and that can we see our way clear to having them back this year. I've talked with a fair number of other people, including Stormy and Oliver, and because I had to call them about tonight anyway, see if they're coming.
Thank you. I appreciate being reminded. So the suggestion that we've come up with, and I have also had a long discussion with Rod Leiva, who is the president of the Latino Fest. What?
President of the what? Rodrigo Leiva is president of the board.
Yes. And he's also the president of the and chief executive officer of the Federation of Latino Agencies. So, here is the proposal, and Stormy has agreed that we could that she will call a meeting, which is the first Tuesday of September the 1st, at which point we will have the results of discussions on different plans on how to handle that. Rod, as he has instructed me to call him, says that they will look into this is going to knock them because they it turns out that this is not the only problem that they've hit of having the venue changed at essentially the last moment. The other items is that there have a lot of the grants that they had expected have not come through. So they find themselves financially strapped. They are having other problems, but let me not go through all of them. So we have discussed three alternatives that they will look into so that this is not rushed and we have maintained high quality. First, we established as that we both agree with, although we'll have to discuss it with this board, is number one, that there is probably a minimum size, that there is a minimum size for the festival to move forward. Without getting to that size, then they cannot get the regional advertising that they need to make it a cultural and financial success. We agreed that that size is below the number of the first festival they had here, but how much, we don't know. Number two, that in the future we will look for further quality, and that the emphasis should be much more on quality than quantity, because Mount Pleasant as a venue is limited in the size and its hospitality. We agreed that the intent is to make this, not in size, but in quality, the most interesting and attractive festival anywhere. And although he doesn't want to say it without talking to his board, given all these setbacks, it may mean that the more time will be. We have three things to consider. One is reducing the size of the planned festival because they don't have the money and staff and other things to do it. Number two, to move the dates so there's more time to get the resources and to plan and to deal with all the issues. And number three, the possibility of spreading it out throughout the year with several other festivals and to use their resources to work with local groups such as this group and to move forward. Now, he says that we will be discussing this, and George Escobar said that he would use his time as a paid staffer for the Office of Latino Affairs to talk to people and to try to assemble from Mount Pleasant business people, all the different groups, ideas and concerns, and that we can move forward on this. He reported back to me that after initial discussions that they would agree to third-party arbitration of disputes for formative evaluation of the project and rapid problem-solving we can use a ticket system or something like that, so that we can rapidly move and mitigate the problems that have happened in the first few years. So that is the current plan, and this does not get in the way of the ANC's responsibilities, but it is to prep the alternatives and the arguments for the 1st of September. First, Dave would. Oh, okay, Oliver.
If I understood you well, you said you have agreed on the size of the festival to be held here. If what did you agree on a number of people that would be coming?
No, because all I know is that they had plans to greatly expand it to the greater space on 14th Street. And they had talked about doubling the size. There's no way that that will fit in to this venue.
But the thing is, if it is advertised, obviously, no matter how small the size of the organized, I mean, it doesn't matter how small the size of the people who will be coming here. It doesn't matter how big the size is agreed upon. People are going to come and eventually swell up those who will be attending the festival here.
Rod addressed that issue about how to handle the size, they can change the size of the festival by the number of days and the degree of advertising. For example, last year when they did it in Mount Pleasant, they were concerned that they might be getting too many people, and so they had offered to them by a lot of different media 30 days of free advertising, and they only used 7 of those as they began to get indications that the size might get out of hand. Does that answer your...
Yeah.
Dave?
Well, I would certainly welcome the festival back home if it turns out to be more of a community, local talent festival rather than a showcase for people from out of state. And I have been watching the ancestors of this festival for 40 years and its ups and downs and different structures, so all of this doesn't surprise me. It's nothing new to these kinds of organizations. I think we should do all we can to make this into a Mount Pleasant-friendly event.
Good. And I will, if the other commissioners, may I just see some opinion about this, because I've heard that from many people, and yet some others want it in a different way. So I need to know since I am de facto operating and the Commercial Corridor Committee is operating to deal with this, I need to know I need to represent the sense of the commission. Jack?
I was certainly unhappy at the news that the Fiesta was moving into Columbia Heights and leaving Mount Pleasant behind. And I complained a lot about that at the time. So I would be very happy to see it back here, but at the same time, doing this on this time frame, 6 weeks, this is going to be, the problem is going to be that a lot of people in the neighborhood are going to feel that they've been blindsided by this, that they've been taken by surprise, that they haven't had any opportunity to be heard about the potential traffic problems, the parking problems, all of the issues involved. I'm just anticipating a lot of grief. Now, we were discussing this before the meeting began, that we have the September 1 meeting coming up, that we should make that a meeting dedicated to Fiesta DC and an opportunity for the entire neighborhood to be heard from on this issue. Are they really going to be willing to deal
with the problems that will ensue. One of the problems that happened last time here was that there wasn't very much notification to the neighborhood about the event. They were not made to feel that they were participants in the event. It's as if the neighborhood was over there, but Fiesta DC was here, and the residents were not involved. They were, nobody was communicating with them. A lot of them were unhappy to discover that streets were closed because nobody had told them. There really got to be a lot of outreach done just to make it clear to the people of Mount Pleasant that Fiesta DC wants to include them, work with them, respect them. And unfortunately, because of the way this is coming about, we're off to a very negative start. As I say, I'm on the one hand, I'm happy to hear that Fiesta DC will come back to Mount Pleasant because I think this is its home. I think it is something that features one of the great beauties of Mount Pleasant, which is its Latino flavor. But we do have to be aware of the problems that will come and do our best to deal with them in the time that we got available. So again, this, if we can make the September 1 meeting an opportunity for everybody in the neighborhood to come and tell us how they feel about it, what the problems are going to be, can we keep Irving Street open, things like that.
Yes, that's I thought that's what was going on, and I had a chance to talk to Stormy about it, as well as Oliver briefly, and I proposed to them that we be as open about discussing the last Sunday in October as the last Sunday in September, and laying them out as alternatives, because I believe it will be rushed, and I've also complained to George Escobar that all of the promises that were made, let me put it this way, almost none of the promises that were made for communication and specific mitigation were kept. So unless we have a third party implementation, then I don't think our track record is very good. Now, I suggested a couple of ideas for that. Let me finish this point. And that is that, and George Escobar thought that it was possible that we could, because he has a good working relationship with Sam Williams, who is the event director for DCRA. And that is that if they did not keep, we set up a cooperative agreement that outlines our understandings. And if they did not, if they do not keep their agreements for orderly processing and various kinds of evaluation, then DCRA will tell them that in the that next year their event can only be 500 people or some such number, and this would concern them. One other thing, just to lay it out, is that they've also agreed in principle to a contract with us where they will work with us for festivals for the next 5 years, subject to evaluation. Phil?
I definitely feel, although I don't have children and I haven't lived in Mount Pleasant for as long as a lot of people, but I feel sort of like a parent who has seen his child grow up and go forth into the world only to come back because they've run out of money, they've run up their credit cards, they forgot to pay their rent on time. And as imagine every parent might be, I am glad that they're home, but I'm also concerned that they're home because it represents difficulties that they've had. The concern is, I think, something that we've talked about before in sort of retrospect, which is that we often hear that will be taken care of, yes, we understand it, yes, we will do it, and it is, all those things are routinely ignored up until the last minute, and there are complaints all around, all day long, and we get through it and we all say, ooh, we'll do it better next year. And this year we sort of got a break where they were going to be moving to 14th Street, and I thought that was fine. I was glad to see that Fiesta DC was growing and that this area was still retaining a Latin focus. I think I've talked with a number of people, not only on the commission but in this room, about how Mount Pleasant does not own Latino culture in the District of Columbia. It is very big. It expands into other portions of Ward 1, certainly, as well as other parts of the city. I think it makes a lot of sense to devote our September 1st meeting to this, as you persuaded Stormy, and I think as Jack advocated for. I think we do need to get the word out that this is happening, and that we are trying to accommodate our wayward progeny, so to speak. It's exciting that they're coming back. It's an exciting festival. I think it's a wonderful thing. But I've heard from business owners up and down the strip that it is a hard, hard day, that they don't get a lot out of it. I've heard from neighbors and residents that it's a hard, hard day because of the trash and the traffic and the noise. We're proud to have it in our neighborhood. I think we'll be proud to have it again this year. We will come together as a community to make it work. And I think that's the sort of focus that we have to have on it. But we do have to spend a lot of time in the next 6 to 8 weeks really getting everything lined up here. I mean, we know we can do it. We've done it in the past. It's just a matter of working together and getting it done.
Yeah, I say I like your analogy, and I use something similar with people. And some cruder analogies as well about taking us for granted. The usual reaction to the boomerang kid is you can come home, but now there are going to be enforceable rules. And we're brainstorming about that. Another thing that I suggested that I told all these folks that I don't think that it's going to be smooth sailing unless we have addressed and given enforceable assurances for all the substantial concerns that have been raised in the last 3 years. And Rod said, there are no big concerns. We've taken care of everything. And that is not true. And so he is ignoring a lot of the issues that have been presented to him, essentially hundreds of issues that have been presented to him. So anyone else on the commission would like to say something? But may I summarize by saying that it appears to me that the issues of it's too speedy, certainly then they're doubling that they were planning for 14th Street will not fit in here, that as a result, many of the commercial agreements they made based upon that assumption of a much larger space, they're going to be cutting with pain. And we need enforceable rules and dispute resolution that we are assured will work. May I take that as a sense of the commission?
Can I make a comment?
No, I've not recognized you yet.
I just want to point out that September 1st is itself an unfortunate date because it precedes Labor Day. A lot of people will be out of town. So I'm afraid that, you may shrug, Greg, but if people come home from vacation and discover that this is going on in their absence, they're going to be unhappy. Yes, it's September 7th. What I'm saying is a lot of people will be gone
on the first,
preceding Labor Day. I'm just worried about the reaction we're going to get from the neighborhood when they discover that this has been done essentially in their absence.
May I answer you? I am very concerned about all of these issues too, because I was deeply involved in trying to pull together all these concerns for the Commercial Corridor Committee. And you know, we've had lots of meetings to invite people, and there have been strong feelings in these things. What I have suggested to them is that the only way I can see this to have a good chance to not be too controversial is if we accelerate the laying down of the problems and complaints and solutions in the next week, so there is a chance to publicize some of the ideas that we have to deal with the concerns and get that out a week ahead of time.
I point out that I think that's the right thing to do, and I won't be here next week because I'm going to be off on vacation, which means it's up to the rest of you to do this publicity. Oliver.
Yeah, I think September 1st will be very close. We should at least push it to the week after Labor Day to give the community the opportunity to attend that particular meeting, because we have to get them involved and also hear, you know, what concerns they have about the festival.
Dave.
Well, the week after that is our regular meeting anyway, so we can address it on September 1st, and then we can also address it in the middle of the month.
I'm concerned that there are a lot of moving parts to this, and they are pressing for an answer. They were pressing to come tonight and get an answer from us. I advised them that I thought it would not be in their best interest to show up and demand an answer tonight. I'm glad to see some support for that advice.
I'm just arguing that we should. September 1st is great. We should do that, but it's not sufficient. We should do September 1st, and we should do September 10th. Whatever, because we're going to have to really work hard to get the word out and to hear back from the community in order to make this acceptable.
Oliver, do you have a reaction to this?
I personally won't be here to attend the meeting because I have other commitments to take care of. So maybe I'll attend the next, after September 1st, the next meeting, if at all.
I had a paying gig and I need the money and I had to cancel for this. So I'm trying to take responsibility. Phil.
I don't see us not talking about this at every subsequent meeting until it's done. I mean, we'll be talking about Fiesta DC until it's over.
And we also have the small area plan as well that's going on. So we have a lot of important things. So I believe that we have some priorities. I've tried to summarize them, and I'll try to. The part of the problem is that, you feel speak.
The only thing, I mean, I think we've all acknowledged that there is a tremendous amount of work to do. And as I've tried to say in the past, I don't think that you should do all of the work yourself. I urge you to reach out to your fellow commissioners and ask them to go with you to meetings, ask them to sit down and draw up ideas, ask them to reach out to their constituents to get their input. We all have to work together on this. I think there's just too much work here for you to take it all on yourself.
Good. I agree. Phil, would you take it upon yourself to pull your network of contacts in and outside of your own SMD, pull together ideas, issues, and reactions, and to start sending them to me so I can distribute them? I have recommended that we not have face-to-face meetings because, in my experience with this particular community, those can become very passionate very fast, and we try to do this by in writing and distribute them, and plus ask everybody that is going to participate to do so on a rational and problem-solving basis without where we're in this together. So let me ask you specifically, I think it's a great idea, and ask every other commissioner to start to do this, and I will feed them into the process. I've tried to set it up so that George Escobar agreed to do most of the staff work. I can't do it all. And I also talked with Rod, and he said that now, before he was not president, he did not have a federation. He did not have staff, and now he has a little more staff. Of course, they have difficult financial times. And so I'm trying to set up an orderly process where we can get this done, hopefully with drafts in a week. But any ideas that are coming later will, as you say, well, this is going to be an iterative process, and I cannot predict how much time. Will the commission allow me to recognize? Yes, Juan Carlos, for 3 minutes.
I believe organizations have 5 minutes, correct?
Not at this point.
There's no limit.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I recognize him for 3 minutes.
Well,
you can appeal the ruling of the chair, but I think we'll be Mr. generous. Chair? I'm just trying to. I don't want to have lists of who was sent turkeys.
Cannot tell me what I'm going to talk.
Okay.
I think rather than declaring a time limit, we should let the chair judge when.
Thank you.
When Juan Carlos has said what he has to say.
Good.
Thank you. Appreciate that. First of all, let me start by saying that one of the purposes of this event being done is because it's the council on together with Hispanic Heritage Month. It has been a tradition here in this area. I'm assuming that business has contracts, has acts to be, they're working in they have contracts with. They have health fairs, they have insurance agreements, they have a fiscal year responsibility. The end, when they finish the festival, the end of the fiscal year is 2 days later. And the money that they have is very difficult to carry to the next year. And I can go on and on about reasons why they should not be moved, the date. And I'm using that because I wanted to call the urgency to welcome this event to the community. And I say welcome, why? Because I don't think they're coming back. And I have a 17-year-old son, and he went out for a year out on his own. He wanted to experience that. And he didn't come back with his hands or with a credit card expired. I think that I know that the Latino, the Fiesta DC, is coming back because strong African-American groups in 14th Street did not want them to be there. They didn't want a Latino event in that neighborhood. And what I'm seeing here, what I don't want to see here is that we are not able to come back here because there is an Anglo community not welcoming us. I'm not accusing you. I'm saying there is a sentiment of that. I do not want to. I want to believe that we are not treated the same way every other organization is. In the day of the National Night Out, there was an event in the park. Some commissioners didn't even know that was happening. We didn't, the Latino community didn't know that was happening. You guys went to outreach to your neighborhood and your community, and the chairman didn't have the gentleness to say how the Latino community is going to make sure that you guys can come out and outreach to your community. Most of our members, and I can prove you by documents, do not have emails. We cannot work with emails. All right? Number one thing. 8 businesses that were here last night, 8 of them, they were very strong saying that they regret the Latino Festival going away because that is going to affect their income tremendously. There are 3 Latino businesses ready to go out of business here. And I think if we can support this type of events, they will come back. The acts that they put in this festival, let me give you this book. And I don't know who I'm going to give to the chair. This coming from the Fiesta DC. Those are acts, they are all local area. They are event local acts, they come and celebrate this. I agree that we might need to change a little some things that so they can improve. But please consider these 3 things. Number one, we have a Latino association that you have encouraged us to work with. And we are here to help. We are here to support, but we are not going to help and support actions led by revenge or because you want to tell them how to do. We are here to support that we can work together, number one. Number two, you have an organization event that can only bring a lot of support to businesses, Latino businesses, that they're getting ready to close. And number three, we have the opportunity to create with them something more beautiful for our community. I want to close by saying two things. Thank you for the opportunity for us to talk. And the last thing is, we want to be part of continue creating a stronger community. Let's be creative about how you involve us. George does not speak for the Latino community, and you know that, right? George does not speak for the Latino community. As a matter of fact, a lot of members in the Latino community resent all that, and you have a name for that. Organization of Latino Adios. That's not what we want here. So
I told him that too.
Yeah, he told me that. So we have members here. We're ready to roll up our sleeves and make it work. But please, let's keep it September 27. I will refuse tremendously to pull it off to later on. I am willing to put a lot of hours of work in that, and there are six members of our committee that are willing to work a lot of hours in that to make it stronger and safer.
Thank you. Let me emphasize that George Escobar has time. He's paid staff and can work on this, and I'm trying to involve a coordinating committee of myself, Rodrigo Leiva, I will be trying to represent the entirety of Mount Pleasant and the ANC, a democratically elected body. Rodrigo is the principal for the other side. And George has agreed to do the staff work honestly in pulling things together. He will be supervised. His work will be overseen, and we will be working, agreed, on a collaborative basis. Because we spent 45 minutes hashing out what the proof that I have of his miscarriages in the past. So I'm not, if you know me, you know that I don't let anybody off the hook easily. So we agreed that we would approach it in a way, and I think it will be a fair process, but we need somebody with staff time to help us with this. And I think we will proceed with that, and I hope all the commissioners will start to feed me their concerns. And I have, in the past, I've put together a pretty long list as well. Carlos, I didn't recognize you, and our rules are. And on the other issue, let me say that the chair has the responsibility of ruling on pertinence. So we can't tell you what to say, but we can cut you off. Okay, but you noticed that I called you immediately and invited you to participate in the process. So there is an intention to try to involve you.
I'm not accusing of that. Just want to have you sure that's
okay. So the action so far has been to ask you to do the same thing, to include your network and the concerns and issues in writing, so that we can deal with this. Now, I would like to, if possible, close this section. Yes, Oliver, do you have something to say? Okay, thank you for coming. You promised only 15 minutes, and we now, it's 8:35.
Okay, a point of clarification, just for informing our community. One of the meetings are confused. One of the meetings are going to be
the first.
The 15th and the 15th. And you guys believe that that's going to give enough time to perhaps restore the option that they still have the permit to do it on the 27th. Because that process indicates no. And it doesn't ensure the commissioners pay. But I want to make sure you are aware that that is an indicator
that you are basically saying no to September 27th.
I have, Juan Carlos, I have explained the rationale behind the schedule because there's lots of things that have to be done. And I will go through that again with you offline. Yes, Phil.
I do think it's important that I make it clear in terms of expressing where I am starting right now, although I do reserve the right to discuss with my constituents. I mean, I just found out about this. You all apparently found out about this earlier today. I just found out about it when I sat down at this meeting. I'm sure many of my neighbors are going to be interested in this. I don't want us to expend a fantastic amount of effort to try and move the date. I'm more interested in making sure that residents are aware of what's going on and that we work with local business owners to make sure that their needs are taken care of. I think there is a lot of inertia and momentum already on this event, and it will be a real sticking point to try and move it. I think the other thing that I want to make clear about my analogy is not to be insulting, certainly. That was not my intent. But I think that when we did hear that Fiesta DC was moving to 14th Street, we all expressed our regret and that there was no plan B. There was no expression of interest in coming back. And I think it would have been a good idea in retrospect for them to continue having this discussion with us so that we would have been prepared in the eventuality that we find ourselves in.
They expressed some relief at getting rid of us and the problems that, because we just were not accepting their generosity and we wanted adjustments. But let's see how it works out, because we have yet to figure out all the schedules and the like, and the rules state already that it perhaps is too late to hold this major event. Jack.
Yeah, I want to point out this is not at all an Anglo versus Latino conflict. This is a matter of the residents of Mount Pleasant wanting to feel that they have some input to what is done, that this isn't simply imposed on them without their consultation. And what people in my part of the neighborhood were concerned about was finding streets closed without their advance warning. So, I mean, there are things we can fix. There are things we can fix, but it's because of the time scale here, it's going to be especially important to make sure that the whole neighborhood knows this is coming and that the whole neighborhood is heard from, so that they feel that this is not simply something being dumped on them without their having any voice in what's done or how it's done.
And I think we also have to recognize that they are going to have to do major surgery that they haven't paid attention to cut the thing down from a doubling of the last year to something that will more comfortably fit.
Well, yeah, and let me suggest that one of the problems last time was that Juan Carlos, you mentioned that email isn't adequate for outreach to Latinos, but for the last Fiesta DC last year, there wasn't any detectable outreach to Anglos. We didn't see any posters. We didn't see any notices. People wouldn't have known about it except for what I was doing to tell them that it was coming. So there is work to be done on your side as well.
I agree with that, and we are willing to do it, just to make sure that you also understand that. And I really appreciate your comment,
Jack.
But I appreciate your comment, because what I really feel, folks, is that I don't like to go to the process, and we are ready to go to the process, but I don't want to feel manipulated by the time frames or the stuff that we use that to move the date. If the date needs to be moved because other circumstances, let's do that. But I don't want to move it because somebody decided to move it because it's the right thing to do. I think we need to explore first the option. It's a great opportunity here, and I want to explore that before. Because the system how it is set up right now is basically telling us that is going to be moved out of the festival, move out. And what I want to avoid, and let me be very clear with this, I want to avoid
hidden for us to respond to our community, the Latino community, the African Americans don't want us, the whites don't want us, there's no riot. I don't want to deal with that. So, and I'll tell you, the heat in our community right now is very high, and I really value it, but that is why we come back and want to respond to, because that would be powerful for us to say we're working together. So, all of them asking is, let's try to make sure that before we move the day, we do everything in our power to explore the options, and we can deal with that stuff after.
We have several major dimensions and how they beat against each other and the trade-offs. We just simply don't know, and that's why the next week is really critical in us exploring and trying to get some understanding before we move into the situation in unpredictable waters. Let me ask again that we close this discussion. I see nods from the commissioners, and we said we would also discuss the small area plan issue, or given that it's 17 minutes to 9, people may want to just to adjourn.
The only issue is the matter of the unfinished business.
Ah, yes, sorry.
And
I
really
apologize for shortening your long languishing proposition.
Would it be parliamentary procedure to say... to ask that the motion be tabled until a further meeting without objection?
Indefinitely, I think, is the usual term.
Okay, you want to you're moving that it be tabled indefinitely?
Yeah.
That allows me to bring it back at
whenever you wish, but right. it doesn't show up under new business.
Okay,
that'll be convenient.
That would be fine.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
So it's 4-0. We still maintain a quorum. Okay, now what is the pleasure? We have 15 minutes that we of our normal meeting time. Let me just say that Jack and I have been discussing the small area plan issues, and we think there probably are several misunderstandings, but I would like to suggest that with only about 15 minutes to go and with flagging energies, that we adjourn now and continue the discussion in format. So I move to adjourn. No, he's... No, what happens is you observe that there's no quorum and then you leave. And so it's automatic adjournment when you lose quorum. So I was suggesting that we adjourn now. So I take that as a second. It's not debatable. All in favor?
Aye.
4-0. The commission is closing its business at 8:44. Thank you.